This is Tom Crabtree, tight end for the Green Bay Packers, and you're watching Cheesehead TV.
Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. Joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking some Packers football, getting ready for a Monday night football game against the Chicago Bears on... Did I just say the Chicago Bears? Is it like the Ohio State University? Anyway, to talk about this game, we have a guest joining us on the line this morning. We have the host of Clubhouse Live. We have Brett Christofferson of the Appleton Post-Crescent. Brett, how are you doing this morning?
Doing great other than the lousy weather, trying to hang in there. But, it's Northeast Wisconsin. It's November, so I guess that's just part of the deal when we live up here.
Par for the course, I think. But, Brett, as host of Clubhouse Live, I like to think we kind of passed the torch from Tom Crabtree on to you. Tom Crabtree, of course, used to be our Monday guest back, I think it was during the 2011 season, and then he was the host on your show. Are you missing Tom this year?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Tom was outstanding, and still keep in touch with Tom through Twitter. And we had a great time with Tom last year. You know, he was a guest twice in 2000 and during our 2011 season. And at that time, we were considering having a regular co-host, and he just fit our format. We talk football, but we have a lot of fun as well and try to get to know these guys away from the game, know them as people. And Tom, again, fit that role real well. So he is definitely missed by our Clubhouse family. However, John Kuhn is our co-host this year, and John has been outstanding as well, so we've been lucky twice.
Yeah, I tell me about how this year is going with John Kuhn being the show, the guest you're bringing in. How is things going?
Things are going great. John's been a pleasure to work with, and I know we're doing something right if we're able to get John Kuhn to dress up for our Halloween show as the General. We've nicknamed him the General, and he came in full General getup. So we must be doing something right. We must be getting a little comfortable. And if I'm being completely honest, I was a little surprised he was interested in being a co-host, because I've covered a number of Packer games over the years, and he's always struck me as a stoic kind of guy, kind of quiet. But he was a guest of Tom's last year. We had a great time, and he remembered that, and was looking for some opportunity to get out and do things like this. And he's been outstanding. He's had been a lot of fun. He's got a great personality, and has been bringing on some excellent guests as well. So things are going well with John. We're having a lot of fun.
Good. Glad to hear it. Now, of course, your show is usually aired on Mondays, but this Monday, the Packers play on Monday Night Football. So what's the plan this week? What's happening?
Well, the game plan, according to the contract, says we're still having a show on Monday. So it's going to be an abbreviated edition. We did this last year as well. Me and my other co-host, Ricardo Arguello, my colleague at Post Crescent Media, we're just going to talk about the upcoming game. There's a little interesting dynamic there in that Ricardo is a big Bears fan, so we have a lot of fun making fun of him on the show. And we're going to be giving away tickets to the November 24th Packers-Vikings game at Lambeau, but you have to be present to win. So anybody who's listening that is in Northeast Wisconsin, just come on downtown Appleton, 6:30, Clubhouse Sports Pub and Grill inside the Radisson Paper Valley Hotel. You can get yourself a chance to win those tickets. And then stick around and watch the game. There's a million TVs in that place, so you have a good seat to watch the Packer-Bear game. And if you want to watch this online, we're at clubhouselive.com.
Railbirds, please take them up on the offer to potentially win the free tickets upcoming. But Brett, let's talk about this upcoming game a little bit here. Packers getting ready to take on the Bears. I think one guy who Packer fans are keeping tabs on is wide receiver James Jones. He's missed two games. He kind of practiced yesterday in a limited fashion, still dealing with this knee injury. You know, can the Packers keep up the success in the passing game without him, without Randall Cobb, without Jermichael Finley, if he doesn't play. They've been doing surprisingly good with all these offensive weapons missing.
I think yes, and I think for three reasons. You know, you look up front, the consistency of the offensive line. I know that the Packers have been dinged up, but that's one area on the team that has played well and injury-free as the regular season has gotten going, obviously. You know, you lose Brian Bulaga at left tackle, and that initially looked like that could be a very tough situation, but credit David Bakhtiari for filling in and filling in well. You know, then you have the emergence of the running game. Eddie Lacy has had a excellent rookie season. James Starks now is starting to ease his way back in. Jonathan Franklin has done some good things. So the running game has been huge. And then, of course, you got number 12 taking snaps. I mean, when you got one of the best quarterbacks in the league and one of the smartest quarterbacks in the league, that's going to help as well. You got to look at Jarek Boykin has stepped in. He's another one of those classic Ted Thompson finds who has seized his opportunity. The kid's got great work ethic. He's humble. He's coachable. Jordy Nelson, let's not just forget about him and the spectacular season he's been having, all those sideline tiptoe catches and stepping up as obviously one of the top receivers in the league. And as I mentioned, the running game can't be overstated. You know, no Jones, no Cobb, no Finley last year would have spelled trouble, but the offensive line has gelled. They seem rejuvenated by the commitment to the running game. I really like how the interior of the offensive line has played with Sitnemo at left guard, Lang at right guard, and Evan Dietrich Smith has really emerged as a solid center. And then Lacy Starks and Franklin, they've all eclipsed the 100-yard mark this season. So the running game has clearly loosened things up for Rodgers in the passing game.
Well, sticking with this running game here, you know, last week Eddie Lacy carries the ball 29 times, a high amount. I mean, how are these reps going to be divided up going forward between him, Starks, maybe even throw Franklin in there? How's it going to look?
You know, that's a good question. You know, and you bring up a good concern. Will Eddie Lacy wear down towards the end of the season if he keeps getting 29 carries a game like he did against Minnesota? I don't see that happening. I really like James Starks. I like both, you know, and I like Franklin too. You know, he showed a real nice change of pace when he had his opportunity. He just got to hold on to that football. But Starks, when healthy, you know, he's a bull too. And he's got that great burst that, you know, like we saw in that 25-yard touchdown run against the Vikings. So you got really two battering rams in Lacy and Starks, two backs that can wear down a defense. So obviously Green Bay was using Starks back into the game after that knee injury. He had seven carries against Minnesota, but averaged over eight yards on those carries. Lacy's still a top back for sure, but I see Starks definitely getting more touches because he's deserving of it. And, you know, plus that will keep Lacy from hitting that proverbial rookie wall as we go forward, at least physically, and mentally too, but from the physical nature, you don't want to wear down Eddie Lacy. You know, Lacy's going to get more of the carries, but it's certainly going to be more even than that, and I think we're going to see more of an even type approach going into this game Monday night against the Bears.
Now, interesting question here. Is Eddie Lacy a Rookie of the Year candidate? Just this past week, he was nominated as Rookie of the Week for the third time this year, second week in a row. Is this a realistic possibility that Packers have a Rookie of the Year candidate here?
Without a doubt. Without a doubt, absolutely. He's definitely on the short list of offensive Rookie of the Year candidates. You know, 446 yards, 3 TDs, averaging 4 yards a carry right now. You know, he's shown some good things in the passing game, too, coming out of the backfield with 12 catches. And he's worked well in the checkdowns for Rodgers. He's productive. He has given the Packers, finally, a consistent threat in the running game and has been a huge presence for Aaron Rodgers, as I mentioned before. And, you know, Lacy has been able to produce at a high level while being a rookie, which is impressive. You know, you look at how much has been asked of him and how he has delivered in such a short period of time. There's a lot on his plate, that's not an easy playbook to know. You got to know the protection calls. He's just been fun watching him play. He's one of those backs who gets stronger as the game goes along, runs harder, runs with violence. And I'm sure Mike McCarthy and the coaching staff will make sure that while they want to get him those touches, they got to be careful that they're not getting him 30 a game. So there's no doubt in my mind he's definitely in the running for offensive rookie of the year. He's been very impressive.
Well, another guy who's doing pretty darn good as a rookie is left tackle David Bakhtiari. Last week he handles Jared Allen surprisingly well, I think. And then this week he goes up against Julius Peppers of the Bears. How is he going to handle Peppers this week?
Well, until David Bakhtiari shows otherwise, I think he's going to handle him well. He's handled that position well. I mean, is it possible to have a rookie left tackle be the offensive rookie of the year? maybe throw him in that conversation as well. 22-year-old rookie now, fourth-round pick, being asked to protect the franchise. I think Packer fans were swallowing hard when that prospect came to be when Bulaga went down. But he's been a huge and pleasant surprise this season. As you mentioned, no sacks or tackles from Jared Allen last week. Faced some solid pass rushers all season long and has graded well. What you got to like about David Bakhtiari is his demeanor. He's smart. He studies tendencies. He's mature. He kind of seems to have this Joel Cool personality, kind of, you know, whatever, not fazed at all by anything. I was reading an article yesterday from offensive line coach James Campen was noting how impressed he is with Bakhtiari and his ability to finish blocks. He doesn't disengage. He waits for that whistle, and that's important for an offensive lineman. You can't just sort of half block and then just, you know, give up on a play. You got to finish the play. So and that's what he does. He shows good footwork, knows the game, as we've often heard others in the locker room say about him. And as I said before, until he goes out and has a thinker, I think he's going to play well against a 33-year-old in Julius Peppers, who right now, coming into this game, only has one sack.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly not the production you expect out of a Julius Peppers, but hopefully David Bakhtiari does the job. We're talking to Brett Christofferson of the Appleton Post-Crescent and host of Clubhouse Live here on Railbird Central on Cheesehead TV. We've talked a lot about the offense here, Brett. Let's kind of talked a lot about the Packers offense. Let's kind of switch to the Packers defense. And they face a Bears team now here this upcoming week that's without their star quarterback, without Jay Cutler. Do the Bears have enough other weapons on offense to be a danger to this Packers defense?
Well, Josh McCown won't ever be confused for Aaron Rodgers, he's not a slouch either. He's been in the league for a while. I think I was looking up last night, and I believe this is his 11th season now coming in, so he's mm-hmm. been around. He played well in relief of Jay Cutler during that loss against the Redskins a couple of weeks back. He was 14 of 20, 204 yards and a TD. Mm-hmm. Can they pose a danger to the Packers? Yeah, sure. Any team can pose a danger unless you're the Jacksonville Jaguars. On the other hand, Green Bay is preparing for McCown, you know, studying his tendencies. They've had a week of practice against knowing that they'll be going against this guy. And it seems as Jay Cutler goes, so go the Bears, you know, and when he's down, the Bears seem to stumble. I think the bigger issue going into this one for Chicago certainly is its defense, ranked 27th overall, 25th against the run. That really plays well into the Packers' hands.
Yeah.
And sometimes a good defense is a good offense. You keep your defense off the field and have that, like you saw against the Vikings last week, almost 41 minutes the Packers held the ball. So the Bears' defensive line has played poorly. It's hard to see the Bears without Jay Cutler putting up more points at Lambeau Field against an Aaron Rodgers-led offense that can now run the ball.
There's a lot of attention this week on these tall Bears receivers, Brandon Marshall, Alshon Jeffrey. They're both over 6'3". I think Marshall's 6'4". Is it going to be a challenge for the Packers secondary to guard these guys who are, you know, inches taller than them?
Well, it'll be a challenge, no doubt about it. Big receivers, you mentioned Marshall 6'4", 230 pounds, Jeffrey 6'3", 216. But I don't really see the Bears torching the Packers through the air because, you know, you look at the Packers' defensive backs as a collection, young, versatile, and athletic. They've done a good job of not really getting tagged for a lot of big plays this season. You know, and that position is finally healthy, too. Shields is playing at a very high level right now. And what I like about what the Packers are doing is showing that depth. They're rotating guys in, which makes it difficult for a quarterback and a receiver to get a consistent feel for how a guy plays and how to attack because they're facing different types of guys. So the depth at that position is impressive. I suppose with Marshall, as you said in an article I was reading this morning, you know, he's going to see, you know, double teams. He's going to have that safety help over the top as the Packers rotate different guys on him. Mm-hmm. Not to say the Bears aren't going to hit on a big play here and there, but I think the key is keeping Forte in check. If the Packers can get a lead and then turn the Bears into a one-dimensional offense where you can time those blitzes and keep the pressure on McCown, you know, get that pressure up front, I think that's going to be a huge role in maybe producing some turnovers. It would be nice to see the DBs get a pick or two. Some of that is making good plays, but some of that has to come from the defensive line and those linebackers to force pressure throws.
All right. Do we have an official prediction for the game? I know we're still a few days away here with it being Monday Night Football, but what do you think is going to happen on Monday night?
Well, I've got to pick the same score I picked on Monday at Clubhouse Live, right? So I said 30-17 Packers. I'm sticking with that. I think Green Bay will continue to show that balance offensively. If not, run the ball more. We'll see. But pick your poison time for Chicago. Do you focus on the run and then Rodgers picks you apart? Or do you sit back and cover two and then Lacy starts and the Packers running game, you know, starts to punish? I just don't see the Bears being as consistent offensively with McCown at quarterback. Packers aren't the Redskins, and once again, they're showing off just how deep they are at a number of positions, much deeper than a lot of teams, and that's going to bode well as the season goes on, too. So this is Lambeau Field, Monday Night Football. I just don't see the Bears keeping pace. Again, Green Bay 30-17 winners, fifth victory in a row.
Brett, but before we let you go, I do want to say congratulations on the release of your recent book on Mickey Crow, on a high school basketball legend in Wisconsin. I just got my copy in the mail the other day. Haven't had a chance to read it yet, but it's a topic I'm dearly interested about because my dad was a high school basketball coach. He actually coached against Marty Crow, believe it or not, way back then. But anyway, congratulations on the book, and that's going well for you. I think it was just officially released just recently, right?
Yeah, no, I appreciate that, Brian. Thanks for mentioning that. We had our kickoff release just on Tuesday. We had Mickey in Appleton for a book signing, and the response was overwhelming. We had it at Lawrence University at Alexander Gym, and it was a 6 o'clock scheduled start time for the signing. We had to get it going at 5:20 because a long line had formed already, and we were signing until after 8 o'clock. And
wow.
Mickey was ecstatic. He was sky high, and it was so good for him. And I'm happy for him because, you know, he's still dealing with some issues. He's better now, but this was good therapy for him, and I know he really enjoyed the night. And we'll be around the state coming up for some other signings, too. So if those who are listening know the Mickey Crow legend and are interested, they can go to kcisports.com and order a copy.
Very good. Well, Brett, thank you very much for taking time out on a Friday morning here to talk to us. Wish you all the best, and we'll be watching on Monday night for before the Packers game, so for some pregame entertainment.
Yeah, pregame entertainment, and I appreciate you having me on, Brian. Make sure you stop by. I know you come to a show before. I'd love to see you back there and hook up.
All right, sounds good. Take care, Brett.
Thank you. Take care.
All right. Brett Christofferson of the Appleton Post-Crescent, host of Clubhouse Live, joining us on the show this morning. Thanks to Brett for joining us. Thanks for you, the listener, for joining us as well as we continue to get ready for a Bears game. Kind of a weird week. We're sitting here, you know, usually our Fridays, we're previewing the game. Well, we're going to be previewing the game again on a Monday morning edition of Railbird Central next week, but that's okay. The more Packers football, the better, right? But yeah. Continue the discussion here of what's going on this week. Everything's kind of shifted, as we talked about, you know, with the extra day they have until Monday. Packers shifted their practice schedule, you know, started on Thursday. So yesterday was the first day of on-field preparations for the Packers this week. We saw James Jones get back on the practice field. We saw tight end Ryan Taylor get back on the practice field yesterday. Packers injury list is growing smaller and smaller on the time. You know, it's interesting. You know, Casey Hayward isn't even on the injury list anymore. Can you believe that? He's been on there every week since the beginning of the season. And now just to see that injury list get smaller and smaller is a step in the right direction. But, you know, the one thing that's been disappointing that I heard yesterday that, you know, I thought was – took a step backwards was the injury to linebacker Nick Perry, outside linebacker Nick Perry. Mike McCarthy said during his press conference yesterday, Nick Perry is just not ready yet. And it was a step backwards from last Friday when Nick Perry actually practiced. Now, you've been hearing he's got this broken bone in his foot. And it's, you know, to see him actually practice last week, you thought, whoa, I mean, he's coming back really quick from this injury here. And you know, they held him out of the Vikings game, and understandably so, he probably wasn't ready for that. Well, it's maybe looking like he's not going to be ready this week either. You kind of thought, well, he practiced last week. Maybe he'll be able to play this week. But the Packers held him out of practice yesterday, and it was disappointing, no doubt about it, to hear he did not practice. And you know, you kind of just sitting there hoping Packers going to get back to health at this outside linebacker position. Not only Nick Perry, but Clay Matthews is missing. And this may be, now no guarantees here, but we're kind of looking at this maybe being the last game Clay Matthews is out. He actually gets the pins removed from his surgically repaired thumb on Monday, on the same day as the Bears game. And he's apparently going to put a club cast on it. And the indications are he's going to be ready for the Eagles game the following week. But, you know, as it stands now, for the time being, Clay Matthews is out this week. Nick Perry not looking good this week. They haven't ruled him out, but... you know, just the indication that he didn't practice yesterday, a little bit disappointing. You know, the Packers have, you know, trying to go with this makeshift off outside linebacker core here with, you know, Mike Neal kind of being the constant when he's been healthy. You know, 2 weeks ago, he had his own shoulder injury he was kind of dealing through to go along with, you know, Nate Palmer and Andy Malumba. And these guys have filled in capably, but not really gotten that pass rush production you want. What, at least while Matthews and Perry have been gone, that's what you really want. You need the pass rush from them. You need the pass rush. And it, of course, you know, I kind of been hitting on it several times at Cheesehead TV. The Packers have not been getting many turnovers this year, particularly in terms of interceptions. And you know, you kind of look at the secondary more than anybody for being the group that comes up with interceptions. But you know, why does a secondary get interceptions? Well, it certainly helps when there's a pass rush. You know, when quarterbacks are pressured into making bad decisions, making bad throws, that's when the interceptions start coming. Packers last in the NFL. They have 3 interceptions, which is the least number in the NFL. I think they're tied for last, but still last. So that not a good sign right now. So, you know, it's certainly, you know, secondary has to play better. Tremont Williams hasn't even grabbed an interception. Morgan Burnett hasn't grabbed an interception. These guys are starters who need to step up, but still, having a pass rush would aid them, and that's why you want Clay Matthews to come back. That's why you want Nick Perry to come back, and I'm hoping for the best for Nick Perry. I mean, it kind of seems like there was maybe I don't want to call it a setback, but it just, you know, Mike McCarthy says he's not ready yet, and you know, obviously you err on the side of caution. It was just, you thought maybe he had a chance of playing, and I wanted to see that outside linebacker group get that addition, get that, you know, rejuvenation, maybe get a little bit of a pass rush going there. And I see Jeremy Fields on the live blog saying they dropped a lot of interceptions. Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, last week, Tremont Williams had an opportunity. The week before, Devon House had an opportunity. These guys have dropped a couple interceptions, but I mean, you know, it is what it is. They are defensive backs. They are not the intended receivers. They don't really all the time anticipate seeing that ball coming their way. They don't know the routes, and it's an accomplishment in itself that sometimes they're there to break them up and get there in time. to do so. So, yeah, I mean, there is a fraction of responsibility on the secondary for making those plays happen, no doubt about it. I see on the live blog here, Travs, TRVS, says three and outs are pretty nice, especially if Hyde can run back a punt, and that certainly has been a way to almost get a turnover this year. It's not an interception, it's not a fumble, but when you force a three and out, you know, the ball's coming back, and certainly Micah Hyde has proved capable, more than capable, as a punt returner this year. I mean, how big is that? How big has Micah Hyde been to you know, solidify this, you know, return, now kick returns as well, kick returns, punt returns. You know, the Packers wanted to get Randall Cobb off that those duties, and, you know, even when Randall Cobb comes back healthy, it's not looking like they need him back there. I mean, certainly, I think Randall Cobb in an emergency situation, they can put him back there, but Micah Hyde is holding down the fort and then some. He's running the fort. He's the man on punt returns for sure, and I don't know if he's the full-time kick returner now. They kind of had Jonathan Franklin doing that for a while, but we'll see. We will see as time goes on here and what's going to happen, but Micah Hyde's looking talented. He's looking sure-handed. He's looking like he can take it to the house, so that's good. I wish the rest of the Packers special teams would get in sync. I mean, that's really been a weak link this year. And the one that's looked the worst, of course, is kickoff coverage. They give up the touchdown this past week. They've given up a few long returns on top of that. So it's like, you know, when is the kickoff coverage unit, you know, going to, you know, start doing the job? And you know, we've talked about before, injuries are the biggest reason why, more than anything. Jarrett Bush was missing for how many weeks? Ryan Taylor has now missed 2 weeks. Jamari Lattimore, who you know was one of their top special teams guys, well, he's been needed at linebacker, so his special teams duties have gone down. So I see that as the biggest reason, more than anything, why the Packers special teams are struggling this year. Jamie Snowden on the live blog saying they give up an average of over 100 yards on kick returns a game. 100 yards a game. That's the hidden yardage right there. 100 yards on kickoff returns per game. And, well, it's a good thing when the Packers are kicking off a lot. You want them to kick off a lot, but you want to see a few touchbacks in there to avoid the returns, for one. But when the returns do come, the coverage units do have to do a better job. Really one of the weak points. And, you know, it had been something, you know, I remember during the Super Bowl season and the season before that, you know, it seemed like Sean Slocum's job was on the line at that point, that the special teams had been doing rather poorly. But they've taken an uptick in recent seasons since the Super Bowl, and they were, you know, The Packers won the Super Bowl that there because of the offense and defense. Special teams was the weak link. Well, 2011, 2012, Packers special teams really improved the past 2 years, and now it seems to have taken a step back again, at least the coverage units. So Packers still doing good things elsewhere, obviously, with punt returns and Micah Hyde doing well. Mason Crosby turning things around. And doing a good job kicking the ball, so that's all great. Now the coverage unit's got to make it, you know, kind of a complete picture, kind of special teams as a whole doing better. So we'll see if they can, you know, start to avoid those long returns and start getting the job done in that department. That would be nice. That would be nice. That's for sure. But hey, it's 9 o'clock here on a Friday morning. That's going to be it for this edition of Railbird Central. We, of course, are on air Monday, Wednesday, Fridays, live at 8:30 a.m. Central Time. So make sure to join us Monday morning. Well, once again, one last opportunity to look forward to this Bears game is the Packers play on Monday Night Football coming up here this upcoming Monday. So on behalf of Jamie Snowden, I'm Brian Caravu. We'll see you later, everyone. Stay tuned to Cheesehead TV all week long for all your news needs. But thanks to Brett Christofferson as well for joining us of the Appleton Post Crescent, for being a guest on the show. And we'll leave you today with a song called Golden Ghost by Lotus on Psy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.